At the end of March, we introduced what we called Youth for Truth. That was the name recommended by those in our youth group. The end of March was our Youth Sunday. And so we dealt with, Amy and I were discussing on the way into church this morning, actually five of the eight questions that I chose from the number of questions that Linda Hill, our youth group leader, submitted to me. And as we knew that Pastor Keith was going to be in his VM board meetings this past week, he asked me to preach, and we decided that it would be a good idea to complete the rest of those questions. And I have three of those left, and as you see that it is already 8:55, very nearly, we are going to address one of them. I told you on that day that whereas Pastor Keith does not cheat, I will happily say that I do. And so I looked at those questions ahead of time, and I prepared some answers for them so that I would not just be shooting from the hip, as it were. These questions will be available on the internet as Pastor Keith posts his Search the Scriptures each week. For those of you who are in our youth group and you think, oh man, I really feel like this person should hear this, this will be available to hear later. I'm not going to say it better than other folks, but our church knows me. Our church knows Pastor Keith, and so you can point them to this. The one question that we're going to be addressing here this first service is, what does the Bible say about homosexuality? Is it wrong to mock sin, like calling people homo or gay to insult them? Kind of a two-part question, but the same general question. What does the Bible say about homosexuality? Is it wrong to mock sin, like calling people homo or gay to insult them? I will tackle this first portion, and then I think that the second portion will kind of come together. We here in our culture particularly, as we are all well aware, those of us who read the news, perhaps better aware than others, homosexuality has become increasingly the norm. Even within the past 15 years, it has gotten far more in your face. And indeed, most of our culture has moved past homosexuality as being, well, of course that is accepted, and now we are urged to accept and indeed embrace transgenderism, etc., etc., etc. What does the Bible say about homosexuality? Well, the Bible says something about homosexuality there in the first chapter of Scripture. In the creation narrative, when God gives us what this world is like and who we are, He says in Genesis 1:27, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them." There in verse 28, "God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" When God created people, He created them with two genders, two sexes. I'm not going to draw a distinction between those two words because it is, in my mind, foolish to do so. The science doesn't back it up. The Scripture does not back it up. Reality does not back it up. Male and female, those are two. There's a dichotomy there. There's nothing, no room for mixing those. According to Genesis 1:27, when God created human beings, He created them two genders, and so anything that goes against that is necessarily a violation of the created order. There will be those who say, well, homosexuality has to be right, and I will say, based on the creation order alone, it is a violation. Because when God made us, He made us male and female, and He said, be fruitful and multiply. When I see in movies or TV shows and a gay couple has a kid, I have to scratch my head and think, I'm pretty sure that didn't work. That's not how God created us. That's not how things work. We have in the Old Testament a handful of very clear laws in Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus 18:21-23. "You shall not give any of your children to offer them to Molech and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. And you shall not lie with any animal and so make yourself unclean with it. Neither shall any woman give herself to an animal to lie with it. It is perversion." The prohibition against homosexuality in Leviticus 18 is sandwiched in between child sacrifice, murdering your child. We have plenty of that today in our culture, unfortunately. And the prohibition against bestiality. Both of those things, bestiality is called a perversion, and Leviticus 18 is called an abomination. Now, excuse me, Leviticus 18 calls homosexuality an abomination. If you are dealing with someone, a homosexual, who has any sort of understanding of Scripture, they will say, well, yeah, but Leviticus also prohibits all sorts of other things. They will say that Leviticus prohibits mixing your fabrics. And I will say, well, yes, of course, that is true. There's a lot of things to understand about Leviticus. It is a peculiar book that should be understood in the context of the entire revelation of God. It is right to handle Scripture wisely. And so if you bring up this Leviticus 18 passage, it is very clear. Someone might fire back at you, say, well, that's the Old Testament. In the New Testament, God does not deal with that sort of thing. I would argue with that based on a handful of key passages. In Romans 1, verses 26 through 28, Paul says, for this reason, which is to say they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. 26, for this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another. Men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. A direct result of the fall is homosexuality and homosexual relationships. Dishonorable passions, Paul calls them, God calls them. It says that it is unnatural. A natural relationship is between a man and a woman. And Paul says, women sleeping with women, men sleeping with men, that is an unnatural thing. It is a shameless act. And it is indeed deserving of the due penalty for their error. I'll make some more comments on these passages in general after we cover them as a set of passages. The next one I wanted to direct your attention to is 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10. Paul says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. One more passage over in 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy 1, 9 and 10. The law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers, the sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. Three clear passages, in the New Testament that prohibit homosexuality. It says men who practice homosexuality, that is to be understood as any sort of homosexual relationship. If you are dealing with folks who know their stuff fairly well, or at least know their stuff fairly well, not necessarily the truth, they will fire back at you with when it comes to this passage and say something like, well, that prohibits men preying on young boys. I believe the word is pedestry. This prohibits pedestry. That is saying that men who prey on young boys, that is not allowed according to Scripture. But if it is men sleeping with men, that is just fine. Indeed, you will see book after book. I was searching for maybe a Philippians commentary the other day on Scripture, and one of the Google hits, because Google, you know, the conservative bastion right there, it brought up how the Bible and Christianity are joined together, something like that. It had a nice rainbow coming out of its Bible. It's a bother that the homosexuals have utilized the rainbow, but you'll find book after book of people saying that Christianity and homosexuality are not opposed. They will come to these passages and morph them all over everywhere, and they will typically bring to attention something that was wrong in the Roman world, but not today. There is an outstanding book. I have recommended a gal named Nancy Piercy to you multiple times. Nancy Piercy wrote a book called Love Thy Body. In this book, she just excellently addresses homosexuality, she addresses abortion, she addresses transgenderism, and she addresses just the sexual culture that we have today from a biblical perspective. It is very excellent. One of the things that she points out is that in the Roman world, everything was accepted. We think that our culture is bad, and we haven't seen anything. In the ancient Roman world, when Paul wrote these verses, if you were a man, you could do whatever you dang well pleased, and you could get away with everything. If you wanted to sleep with a woman who was not your wife, that's pretty much fine. If you want to sleep with another man, that's fine. You want to sleep with a young boy or a young girl, that's fine. You do whatever you want to. The Roman world had almost no sexual laws when it came to what was right and what was wrong. So Paul comes in to a world where everyone assumed, yeah, he's a man, he can do whatever he wants to, and says, you can't do whatever you want to. Sex is for between a man and his wife, and nobody else. That was massive for the Roman world. And indeed, that's one of the main reasons why women flocked to Christianity, because they said, whoa, we have value now. People can't just bully us around because God cares for us, which is an awesome truth about this. And so when we come in that it says that you, those who are deserving of hell are men who practice homosexuality, that is anybody who practices homosexuality, because in the Roman mind, they would all kind of be the same. And so when Paul says this, it was very clear this was not just men who prey on young boys, it was any sort of sin here. A sin is a sin. Indeed, Scripture calls this an abomination. It's wrong, very clearly. An argument that you will hear from our peers, which is to say our world, is that how could a loving God say that love is a bad thing? Well, just like a loving God could say that pornography is a bad thing. Just like a loving God can say that murder is a bad thing. Because that love is not truly love. It is an aberration. It is an abomination. Another thing that we need to be clear on is people will say, well, how can God say that this is wrong when I was born this way? Now, some people will say you weren't born that way. I will say you were born that way. Some of you were born murderers. Some of you were born drunkards. Some of you were born filthy liars. Your predisposition towards sin is wired into you at birth because of Adam's sin. I do not have the sin of homosexual tendencies. I have a slew of other sins that y'all don't know about because I'm not super duper close to you. Other people pray for me when it comes to those sins. But that does not make homosexuality right any more than it makes any of my sins right. Yes, you are born that way, but that doesn't change whether it is right or whether it is wrong. That is up to what God says, and God very clearly says that it is wrong. It is indeed a corruption of the created order. Homosexuality is damnable and deserving of hell. But do you remember those lists from 1 Corinthians and 1 Timothy? There are a whole lot of other sins that are damnable and deserving of hell. Any sort of sexual immorality, which does not mean just homosexuality, but sleeping with anyone who is not your spouse, looking at any sort of pornographic materials, any sort of other sexually aberrant activities, anything outside of a husband and his wife, that is deserving of hell. Lying, deserving of hell. And so though it is right for us to say no to the world who tries to shove down our throats that homosexuality is just fine, we as the church need to make very sure that we recognize that our sins are just as deserving of hell. Perhaps not as much of a direct corruption of the created order, but still equally sinful. There's this next question that kind of follows that we'll continue to address this. What does the Bible say about homosexuality? But the second part is it wrong to mock sin, like calling people homo or gay to insult them? Those of y'all with no youth in your home may not recognize that this is a fairly common practice. That if there is a group of teenagers who one of them does something strange or stupid or whatever, then they'll say, hey man, you're acting gay right now. That is the sort of thing that people utilize. They call them homo as just an insult and not truly thinking about it. There are a number of problems with that. First is that I would say that is very dismissive of the sin. And indeed, even as you use that as an insult, you are simultaneously watering down how wrong it is. If I were to call someone, hey man, you're acting like a drunkard, then we'd say, well, that didn't really make any sense. Drunkenness is a sin that needs help. Hey man, you're such a, child predator. You would not use that sort of thing as an insult because that's horrifying. And yet that is a sin, just as homosexuality is a sin. And so when you say, call someone homo or gay to insult them, you are being dismissive of the people that actually struggle with that. Jesus is very intense about the words that come out of our mouths. In Matthew 12, 36 and 37, Jesus says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only what is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. The only things that come out of our mouths as Christians should be things that build other people up. James 3 says, if anyone can keep his tongue under control, he is a perfect man, able to handle his entire body. Which is to say, God knows how hard of a time we have with our mouths. James knows how hard of a time we have with our mouths. That does not excuse the bad, wrong, wicked things that come out of them, but it helps us to recognize that is something that we should pray for very regularly. Is it wrong to mock sin? Well, yes, it is, because you are using your words carelessly and flippantly, but I think that there is also a danger of making homosexual tendencies worse. So here is something that we need to be clear on. Engaging in homosexual activity is wrong and it is sinful. Having homosexual tendencies is a result of the fall, that we need to love those people. We need to care for those people and to try to help them to heal. If there is someone who comes into our church family who struggles with homosexual tendencies and is met with our pretty strong conservative borderline libertarian view of politics, and hear us talking about how much we cannot stand homosexuals, that man has been wronged by us. That woman has been wronged by us. Because if they only hear us railing against the wickedness of homosexuality, it is wicked. If they only hear that and they do not also hear that we would like to love everyone and we would like to show Christ's love to everyone, whatever sin you deal with, then we have wronged if they do not hear that. Indeed, if you are using words like, man, you're acting so gay, or if there is a very effeminate boy or a very masculine girl, and we, in a moment of brain dead, whatever you'd like to say, fire away, man, you're acting gay right now, then this boy, who's probably already struggling with his homosexual tendencies, because God did not leave us without a witness, God has still shown his general grace, our world knows what is wrong at the core, and that is why they try to indoctrinate the kids from 5 or 6 years old so that they embrace it. But yet, if you are trying to go against the way that God has created things, your body's not working there. Indeed, if you are a Christian particularly, and if you have these homosexual tendencies, that is like any of us when we are Christians and we have a draw to whatever sin. We know the draw is there, and we despise it. And we can't seem to get any headway there. There is an addiction that pulls at us, or a sinful behavior that continues to trap us. And if someone were to then make light of that, then we would think, well, man, I can't handle this anyway. I might as well just give in. Or, man, they're making fun of me in this way anyway. I might as well just go whole hog into this because people don't truly care about me. It is wrong to mock sin because we as Christians are called to love others. Amy and I were just talking Friday, about a gal that she knows who talks about their church in Las Vegas, who is very proud of the fact that there is a young guy who has homosexual tendencies whom this church has welcomed and indeed put in a small position of ministry. And we, our first thoughts maybe, well, man, get that kid out of there. He should not be there. Our second thought, I pray, is the biblical one, say, praise the Lord that this kid is there. We want people who struggle with homosexual attraction in our church body. We want people who struggle with alcohol addiction in our church body. We want people who struggle with whatever sin you may list here in our church body, because it is in the context of a church family, it is in the context of a loving body of believers that we will grow, that we will find strength to fight against these things, and we will find joy in who God has actually created us to be. In everything we do, 1 Peter chapter 3, in your hearts, 3:15, but in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. yet do it with gentleness and respect. This is talking about primarily sharing the gospel with others. And yet gentleness and respect should define everything that we do. I love our country. We are not known for being a gentle and respectful people. We are known for being brash. We are known for being in your face. And indeed, those even on the conservative side of the aisle, where I would place myself, we are known for being just mostly irritable about everything that goes on in our world. And indeed, if you look at our culture and just diagnosis, there is no one who is gentle and respectful. Even the people that we agree with, even one of the commentators that I read regularly, I express to my family, he's a jerk, but he sure has good things to say. Good things are good things. We should embrace those and indeed believe them and work for them. But everything we do as the church must be with gentleness and respect. When people come into our church body, James again talking about stinky people. It actually does talk about that. I'm paraphrasing, but it's there. If stinky people come into our church family, gentleness, respect. If a man comes in dressed very uncomfortably for us, and yet there is obvious desire for help there, gentleness and respect. This does not mean that if someone comes in holding his husband's hand and acting like there's not a care in the world, we should not stand up for it. We should. Remember the first part of this question. Homosexuality is wrong. We are responsible to love people out of sin by God's grace. We should never accept or endorse homosexuality, the behavior giving into it. But if someone is struggling with that sin, gentleness and respect. When it comes to, this is largely for younger folks, but I think all of us could be there. Only partially related to this, but is it wrong to mock sin like calling people homo or gay to insult them? Do you know how many words you could make up to poke fun at someone that don't have any negative connotation? How often do I call people dingbats? Pretty regularly. I have no idea what a dingbat is, but I'm confident that it is not actively tearing down their character. Goofball, I appreciate that. I am convicted even right now. I call people idiots probably far too often. Some of them are, but I still call them idiots far too often. As we think about the way that our words come out of our mouths, as we think about an unbelieving world, as we think about our culture, those who are opposed to us, those who are persecuting the church, gentleness and respect, embracing in Christ's name, never endorsing any sin, but always being ready to love anyone because God loved us while we were still sinners and Christ died for us. Let's pray. God, this is a hard one. We're kind of a conservative hold here in Southern Nevada, at least in Pahrump. We have a lot of kind of old-fashioned folks here. I'll count myself among them. And we're going to be us. You've made us Pahrump Community Church. We have our style. We have our way of going about things. Pastor Keith and I have our look, our just general mannerisms. And so we know that though it may not be, this may not be the first church that people coming out of rough or sinful backgrounds would look at and say, yeah, I think that's a church for me. When people like that come in, God, please give us the grace to go over there and shake their hands just as much as we shake the hands of people who look like us. To go over there and say, man, I am glad that you are here today. I praise the Lord that you are fellowshipping with us, and I pray that God would bless you. That they would get a gift box, and even as they struggle with this sin that so many of us don't know how to deal with because we have not personally dealt with it, that you would help us to smile at them and say, man, I hope you're here next week. I read statistics, God, about pornography addictions, sexual addictions, and I recognize that based on statistics, which are not a surefire way, but based on statistics, there are people here in our church family this morning that struggle with homosexual attraction and they don't let other people know. Maybe this homosexual attraction has manifested itself in pornography in that vein, and it is a violating and it is a dirty sin that particularly in the context of a very conservative church they don't want to reveal, and yet sin is never going to get better unless we flush it into the light. So Father, please give us the strength as your people to embrace one another, that when layers come off and sin is revealed, we not recoil, we not look down our noses, but we act as you have acted toward us. We go in and we say, how can I push you to Jesus? How can I help you pursue your joy and get out of this sin that is only going to hurt you? Father, please help us to love and to stand firm in your truth, to not move the goalposts when it comes to what is right and what is wrong, but to stand squarely in line of your word and to be ready to welcome anyone who comes with a desire to be in a right relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.